The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So today I'd like to give the third introductory talk to on this topic of mindfulness of breathing. And then tomorrow we'll start with the 16 steps that the Buddha taught for this practice. And so there is one discourse of particular teachings of the Buddha where he lays out this teaching of the 16 steps. And the particular discourse is divided, can be divided into three parts. And one of the things that characterizes these parts is the way in which they are unifying things. It doesn't say this explicitly, so maybe this is my interpretation, but there's a way in which it's emphasizing the bringing together and harmony of different elements of practice, all the different practices that the Buddha taught, all the different mind states that happen in meditation, the different developments of meditation, how it all fits together in a harmonious whole. And also the Buddhist community at his time, how they come together in a harmonious way, in a unified way. And the discourse begins with a beautiful image of a full moon night in the fall, maybe in around September, in ancient India, in the woods. And there's a wonderful way in which the full moon in the woods, if it's not too dense, the canopy, can really light up a certain kind of beautiful, clear, peaceful, calm light that lights up, and you can see, you know, pretty well at night. And this big full moon can, so much different than the sun, which you can't really look at the sun without injuring yourself. The moon, which represents in Buddhism the full moon, the awakened mind, is safe to look at. It's cool, it's peaceful, it's brings light. We can see clearly in the dark. And so in this full moon night in the woods, there is a large gathering of the Buddha's disciples. And all the senior, the 10 senior disciples of the Buddha are all together there. And they're there for 3 months for what's called the Rains Retreat. And each of them is there together with a group of new monks who they're training. And so one of the senior disciples of the Buddha has 10 new monks, one has 20, another 30, one 40, all in multiples of 10. There's 10 disciples, multiple of 10 disciples that different ones of them have. So it's kind of well organized, this idea of it being kind of organized and harmonious and orderly. Is kind of implied in this, and each of the senior disciples is teaching for these 3 months. The younger disciples teaching them meditation, the practice, and the Buddha gathers them together on this full moon night, and he says to them all, "I'm really pleased with all of you, your practice. I'm delighted in your practice, and you've developed and matured wonderfully in this practice. However, you can mature more. There's further to be done. So rather than, I was going to leave now at the end of this Rains Retreat, but I'm going to stay here one more month, and why don't you stay one more month and keep practicing because you're doing so well." So they do. So here they're living together harmoniously in the woods, and the senior disciples are living together and doing the same thing, supporting, and the Buddha's pleased. It's this image of unity and harmony of practice and dedication in practice. And the full moon can almost stand for the maturity of these practitioners, that their hearts are becoming full and mature, awakened. And so they practice for another month, and then the Buddha gathers them together again. And he says, "I'm really pleased by all of you, and you've really matured further." And then he says, and here in this community, there's no, everyone is well-practiced, everyone is well-settled, everyone is ethical, there's no one who's kind of slacking off, and I'm really happy with how it's going. So it's really kind of get the sense of the whole community is maturing harmoniously and involved in the same thing, developing in the same way on the path of practice. And then he says that, yes, and here among you all, there are those of you who are fully awakened and those of you who are well on the way to full awakening, at different stages of awakening. And there are those of you who are practicing the four foundations of mindfulness, who are practicing seven factors of awakening, who are practicing the Eightfold Path, who are practicing developing the five faculties and the five powers and the four bases of success. And he goes through all these different practices that they're doing, and including loving kindness, compassion, appreciative joy, and equanimity. And so they're all the different practices and developments that go on in early Buddhism, they're all represented in that community. They all have a place. They're all important and valuable. So that's the setup for the teachings on breathing. And then the Buddha says, kind of, he says, I don't think he uses the word but he says, but mindfulness of breathing, when practiced and cultivated frequently, leads to great benefit, to great advantage. And when you practice mindfulness of breathing, it cultivates the four foundations of mindfulness. And as you cultivate the four foundations of mindfulness with breath meditation, it develops the seven factors of awakening. As the seven factors of awakening develop, it develops the seven factors of awakening lead to the initial awakening, and that initial awakening allows those seven factors to develop further, that leads to final awakening. So here again, there's a way in which he's bringing together all these different parts of the path of practice and explaining how they fit together and support each other. The mindfulness of breathing is not a separate practice from the four foundations of mindfulness. It's not a separate practice in cultivating the seven factors of awakening. So he's really kind of built up this whole momentum in his teaching, this prelude, the prologue to this discourse, and mindfulness of breathing is so valuable. And then he is going to start giving the instructions. And before talking about the first step, he gives the preliminary instructions for doing breath meditation. He says, and maybe it's worth reading it. So he says, and how is mindfulness of breathing developed and cultivated so it is of great fruit and great benefit? Here, a practitioner gone to the forest or to the root of a tree or to an empty hut sits down, having folded their legs crosswise, set their body erect, and established mindfulness to the forefront. Even mindful, ever mindful, one breathes in, ever mindful, one breathes out. So there's a definitiveness to being here, that sitting down to meditate, and Buddha is very particular, specific about the location. I don't think it's because it's those particular locations where you have to go meditate, but rather this idea of sitting in a definitive place, like I'm here, this is the place where I'm sitting, I'm rooted, I'm going to be. So in the forest, at the root of a tree, an empty hut, in a quiet room in your house, but there's a kind of definitiveness to this is the spot. And then having folded one's legs crosswise, I mean, this is a cross, this is a cross-legged seated posture. There are other postures as well. Elsewhere he talks about four dignified postures. There is, I don't know if he said dignified, but this is how it's come down through the ages, four dignified postures. That posture of sitting upright, lying down, standing, and walking. All are suitable meditation postures. So again, the different ways of sitting. But again, this definitiveness of really taking your place, sitting up. And then he says, with one's body erect. And if, of course, if you're laying down, body's not erect. But maybe there's a... Erect also means a kind of internal, I like to say, an internal uprightness or internal integrity, internal kind of confidence. Yes, here I'm going to practice. And so there's time and effort and emphasis here on gathering oneself together. For me, symbolically, folding your legs together is a gathering together, coming here, being established here. And I used to be able to sit full lotus and really cross-legged. And there is a kind of definitiveness and a gathering together that of the physical energies that seems to happen with this posture that really feels, helps you to kind of really definitively be here. And then with that, ever mindful, one breathes in, ever mindful, one breathes out. And so here, ever mindful. And this is a fascinating idea that one establishes mindfulness. It says, establish mindfulness to the forefront, ever mindful, one breathes in and breathes out. And it's interesting, this term establishes mindfulness, as opposed to, it doesn't say, now you do the mindfulness, now you apply the mindfulness, now you are busy being mindful. Rather, establishing mindfulness has a very different connotation than doing mindfulness. Is you are allow? I like to think of this as awareness. You don't do awareness, but you can establish yourself in awareness. And I'll give you an analogy, and then we'll stop. Imagine that you're a naturalist, and you told there's an amazing bird somewhere in the natural world, maybe in the woods, the wilds. But the bird is very shy. And so if you want to see this amazing bird, it's important to go in a particular place. There's a clearing in the woods and stand there very still. You have to be very patient. And the bird can come from any direction. It can come from above, back, side, from below even. It might suddenly appear, but it doesn't. It just comes through very quickly. So almost if you blink, you know, you almost might miss it. And if you're too busy looking for it, then you can't really see it. You know, the very looking for it is making the mind too busy. You have to just stand there and be very still, and all your senses open, establishing awareness, all your senses open, without doing too much application or looking or searching. And just be open to all your senses so you're alert enough so when the bird comes through, you're ready to pick it up, to see it, to understand, to see it there and see it. And if you spend your time in daydreaming and thinking, you won't have the all the senses open enough to see the bird. So that's more of my analogy for this idea of establishing mindfulness, establishing awareness. And then ever aware, one breathes in, ever aware, one breathes out. And since breathing is so close and intimate with the whole inner experience of awareness, that if awareness is established, then we become aware of breathing. And this is a different feeling or different instructions than now bore into your breathing, like be in the control tower and really apply yourself and focus on the breathing, that kind of way. But yes, it is a strong attention to breathing, but it's through this establishing attention, establishing awareness. And when awareness is established on breathing in and breathing out, then the 16 stages of breathing begin, which we'll talk about tomorrow. So thank you very much for today, and I look forward to tomorrow.